You have a lot of criticisms directed towards the ICTR, and you've talked about them in some detail here today. You've written out in the real world, as it were, that you view the ICTR as a grotesque judicial exercise and a waste of money. Do you think the international community should be exercising some different role here? And if so, have you given some thought about that? What should be the role of the international community in trying to address what occurred in 1994?
That's the question I've been trying to answer. Because it's easy to criticize, but you know, do you have an alternative is the obvious question, and it's a very difficult one. But what I can say is, I think, how can you be the judge and be involved in that? That's, you know, I go back there. The United Nations recognized its responsibility in what happened there. The failure to intervene, there's a report of the United Nations, and Kofi Annan apologized to the people of Rwanda. You know?
So you're suggesting that by setting up the ICTR, a complicit organ is
Not
creating the judicial
complicit.
system?
I don't think the people that created the ICTR had any ulterior motives. I think it was their intention was noble. I think you're start and it shows. It shows in the resolution that created the tribunal. I think it's not so much a problem of having bad intentions. I think these people, there was no, some people go very far and say this is a conspiracy. I don't think it was a conspiracy of any sort, the creation of the tribunal, I mean. I think there were a genuine intent to prosecute responsible people and to carry on that fight, you know, against impunity and all that. I think these objectives were genuinely present when they created the tribunal. The problem is implementation and how you achieve that. And you know, the role of France is always discussed. They're part of the Security Council. Already there, you have to be careful. And right from the beginning, I don't think an institution like this, within the context of Rwanda, can work.
Let me ask you about that then. If there was no ICTR, what would you hope for in terms of, you're obviously a man who's interested in justice. What would your hopes for justice from the genocide be with no ICTR?
Convict these people where you find them. Create special chambers in Canada, like they're doing now, in the United States, in France, in Brussels, where you have already, you have in African countries, where you help them, you know. It's not trying to, out of nowhere, you know, like génération spontanée, like spontaneous generation thing that in time you can, like, within a couple of years, sort out these events and figure out what happened there. To me, and the problem, I think, one of the major problem here is that you're creating an institution which has no arms and no legs. It has no sovereignty. So you're completely dependent on states' goodwill to achieve fair trials. Can you? And I think if you're doing a bit of international law, I think sovereignty is the most perfect form of immunity. Okay? There's no, but it's true. And you're dealing here with an institution that has no power. And I'm seeing that in Tagirura. The registrar addressed a note verbale to Canada saying, "You take that man who has been acquitted." Canada is a member of the United Nations, and the tribunal was created under Chapter 7 of the Charter, okay? Which specifically states that, you know, if states have to abide by request for cooperation, because without states' cooperation, there's nothing, there's air. Everything, they depend for everything, for carrying people here, for getting witnesses, for getting prosecutors, for getting money, for getting room, for getting everything. They depend on states' goodwill. If you don't have that, well, you cannot achieve anything. And this is the real issue here. You know, like, you just throw that thing in orbit, and then after that, states shut their door and say, "Well, you know, fuck off. You know, do your own things and don't bother us with that." But you have to be coherent. And the most problematic state in that picture, I think, is Rwanda.
Well, let me ask you about that, because let's assume there is no tribunal. RPF, Kagame, who you've spoken about before, is in power now. Are you satisfied that Rwanda, conducting its own trials in dealing with certainly hundreds of thousands of people who were killed by hundreds of thousands of people? How does that work?
I'm not, and the appeals chamber is not either, because they refused to transfer an accused in Rwanda because they were concerned about, you know, whether they would receive fair trials or not there, and whether there was a witness protection issue, which is still valid. There was a bitter war between these two, between Kagame and the people that are currently facing trials here at the ICTR. So it is very, very, it would be very unsafe for them to be sent there. And there were very interesting questions that were raised there. But I'm struggling about finding an alternative to the ICTR since a couple of minutes. And the more we think about it, I think they've spent $1.5 billion in that thing so far, with the result that I've mentioned to you. You know, I think it's completely failed in its dual objective. And I think that money would have been better invested at helping the judicial system of these countries where these people eventually took refuge, many of them in Belgium, many of them in South Africa and surrounding countries. And this, on the whole, I think this was not properly addressing the problem. The ICTR is not, and I don't have myself, unfortunately, I don't have anything other than that as the alternative.